It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith back with Greg Pickle. We have really talked a lot about 2018 recruiting. It's in the books. Penn State, the number 4 or 5 class in the country, depending where you look. 23 commitments, really good, well-rounded class. And what we're doing now is going to look ahead to 2019. And I think some of this conversation goes into 2018. Penn State has not had any surprises, really, not many surprises.
Right.
Late in the cycle, they've had this class locked up unofficially before the first early signing period in late December. Then it started to become more official when they had, 22 kids signed.
Yep.
During the early signing period. Only had one spot left that they ended up filling. Rasheed Walker committed and signed on the second national signing day. 23 kids in all in that class. And, Greg, what they ended up doing is they had so much taken care of. I think going back to even, end of the season, November, December, they started planting a lot more seeds and starting to do more due diligence in the 2019 class. And, it gave them a head start in some ways.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I don't know if I buy what James Franklin said on National Signing Day 2, which was that Penn State, he didn't feel like Penn State was any further ahead than most other schools. I have a hard time believing that because they focused, there's the only guy in 2018, Solomon Enos and Rasheed Walker is all they had to worry about in that cycle. So they spent almost the entire month of January like it was April and May, and they were out recruiting 2019, 2020, 2021. Not every school had that luxury. So to me, Dustin, I think they are way ahead of the game at this point in time. You can see that they don't have as many offers out at this point. I think they're being selective because they know that the class is probably not going to be that big. So what they're doing, the way it looks like to me, is they are focusing in on their top recruits, and they are spending a lot of time with those guys, making sure they get out to see them, making sure the new coaches go and meet them. At this point, I think Penn State class 29, they're in a great spot with that group.
Well, you mentioned space, and I know that you've done some assessing of this situation. 23 they took in the class of 2018. You figure that between now and the summertime, they still have a little bit of work to do to get down to the 85 overall. What do you forecast space-wise in 2019?
I mean, right now, they're looking, it's like 7. If you buy the numbers, it's 7. So, obviously it will be more than that when all is said and done. They'll have space for more than that. But, I just don't see them getting anything more than 15, 20. I'd be stunned, barring a large exodus of players out of the program, that they get more than 20 recruits. It would be mind blowing. Even getting 20, I think, would be surprising. To me, Dustin, they just don't have that much space. The roster is not in a position where it's about to turn over in a large way. So I think that at the end of the day, they will be able to. 15 is what my number. 15 or 16 is where I would peg it. Obviously, that can change. Guys will leave that we're not expecting to leave, things like that. But there just doesn't appear to be a ton of roster turnover on the horizon in the near term for this class.
Yeah, and I think in terms of unexpected departures, there's not a lot of junior eligible guys next year that I would say could leave eligibility
table. Yeah,
this really hasn't been a big problem at all for Penn State in the past few years. But really, I just can't imagine a lot of these junior eligible guys are going anywhere. So any kind of attrition to get beyond that 7 will have to come from elsewhere. It could be transfers, could be guys, giving up because they're blocked and their situation is probably never going to change.
Right.
But otherwise, it'll be interesting to see because we have not seen a Penn State program to the point where in 2018 they get 23 commitments and they're like, why didn't they get more?
Yeah.
This will be a little break in that aggression, I think.
I just don't see how they're possibly going to fit. I just don't see how they're going to fit the teams or the players in. I mean, I just don't see the guys leaving the current roster in large enough numbers that they're going to be able to get more than 15. It's just, to me, at the end of the day, when you break it down, you look at the numbers, unless there's a large amount of guys leaving that we don't expect to leave, Dustin, there's just not a lot of room to add guys in this class, which is a shame because Penn State has some really high talent on the board.
So I want to shift from the head start idea, which James Franklin tried to debunk. I think that Penn State was on more stable ground, more so than a lot of programs were. The early signing period, that was the benefit, I think, was to coaches who don't have to scramble quite as much between December and February to keep their own guys committed. They're signed, all that. So they were able to look ahead a little bit. Then you look at the fact that there's two commitments in the class so far. Keaton Ellis, the cornerback from State College, and Taquan Roberson, the quarterback. And, you know, I think Mike Gross from Lancaster Online threw this out there a couple weeks ago. Andrew Pichet and I talked about it last week, the idea of a slow start. They've only got two commitments. They went through a junior day without any new commitments. So it's a slow start because they haven't made headway in that regard. And I think that, you know, I can definitely see the idea, see the question being raised, but I also don't equate commitments with the speed with which you're accelerating through the recruiting calendar. And there's a few different factors that played into it. One of them is the space idea that you just mentioned, how selective that they're being, how willing or unwilling they might be to accept a verbal commitment from somebody at this stage as a result. The other part of it is the timeline changes a little bit with official visits now being you can do it in the springtime.
Yeah.
And it seems like there might be some kids who might be on the fence, whether they might want to commit in February or not, who will use their official visit instead and maybe try to do it then.
Yeah, no question about it. You mentioned Andy, so shout out to him for filling in for me last week because I was not doing
you
so well.
You almost didn't have a job to come back to.
That's
Greg,
right, yeah.
Greg, it would have been the Wally Pipp situation, but it's self-inflicted celebrating
right,
the Eagles
yes.
winning the Super Bowl.
That's right. The first ever, self-inflicted Wally Pipp. That's exactly right. But James Franklin has been beating the drum about these, how worried he is about these official visits for the better part of a year now. Before it even became rule, he was, saying that, we really ought to think about this. I think his concern, and he's right, is that number one, it's going to take time away from the current players and the current team at a time when they usually were the only ones that were in focus. Secondly, you're asking these coaches, and I get it. They make a lot of money. But, I mean, at some point, there's not enough money that you can make to equivalent to the fact that you never see your family. You're always working. Kids are coming to campus at random times. You know, it's,
what about, Greg, $100 billion?
Yeah, it might be enough, but that might be enough.
That's what I get paid to do is ask the pointed, relevant
questions.
That's
right. Yes, absolutely. But no, I mean, I'm curious to see how it'll end up working out because when you really break it down and come down to it, it's just there's going to be a lot of busy days for these guys that they didn't previously have to deal with. They're going to have to balance a lot more because kids can come anytime between April 1st and I believe it's June 26th. It's the way it's written is terrible. It's the last weekend before the last Wednesday in June. So I think that's June 26th this year. But
what is it with these discussions with Wednesday? Wednesday? It's the last Wednesday?
Yeah. I don't get it either. But anyway, it's going to be make for some interesting situations. And camps, too, will be strange. I mean, think how many guys, Taquan Roberson's one of them, who earned offers during camps. Now you're trying to maybe have official visitors on campus while you're running these camps. Does the kid want to camp? Does he not want to camp? Does that make does that change the way you go about your day? It's going to be fascinating to see how these guys handle this.
It's a lot of changes that from an outward, from a public position, like you know it, but you can't imagine because logistically recruiting is hard anyway.
Right.
Recruiting is hard to map out all these visits and the whatever it ends up being, hotel stays and tours and getting them to see the academic side of things. And, Andy Frank and those guys have their hands full just balancing that as it is. Now you add official visits to the mix in the spring, and it could be tricky for those guys. But the good news, I think, is that everybody's playing by the same rules.
Yeah.
How you manage against those rules relative to what your competition does is kind of all that matters. You listen to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're looking at Penn State recruiting in 2019 and really some of the challenges and maybe opportunities that are ahead. One thing that came out during James Franklin's National Signing Day news conference is the idea of blue-white. That weekend, that game.
It's going to be a mess.
It takes on that's one way to put it. But I think what you're going to hear him beat the drum because when he's on to something, he will be relentless with his public comments and strategic with how he presents them. I think he's going to
be endless.
I think it's going to be endless, and I think the message is going to be, from a fan's perspective, is just get here for it.
Right.
It is going to be hugely important for us because it's already an important weekend anyway. We already want anybody who comes and visits unofficially to feel something that resembles game day.
Yep.
Now it's going to be, the pressure is going to be, these guys are on official visits. Let's make it feel like a game day.
Absolutely. No question about it. And honestly, they're going to have to just. I just don't know how you do it. James Franklin made a great point that I don't have in front of me, and I'm not going to be able to talk long enough to look it up. But I think that when it comes down to it, that he said something to the effect of, like, we usually have, you know, I think he said 200 unofficial visitors, which isn't right. But they have at least 100 on campus. Plus, we add in family, brothers, sisters, all that. It's probably, like, you know, trying to coordinate 300 people or so. And that show was just unofficial visits. But with the official visits, you know, they pay, the school can pay for some things. Obviously, the travel, you know, it's a different vibe. It's a different kind of visit. There were times when they had too many kids on campus for these blue-white games to see everyone. Now, they try and see everyone, but sometimes you can't. But when you add the official visit into the mix, it is going to be a mess. There's no other word to use. It's going to be – now, they'll pull it off. I mean, Penn State has a very, very good recruiting department led by Andy Frank, and they'll figure it out, and they'll pull it off. But, Dustin, it's going to be chaos trying to figure all this out, coordinate all those people, guys on official visits, guys on unofficial visits, what they can do, what they can't do. I mean, it is going to be just bedlam for the recruiting department. But Blue White Weekend is going to have to be their big selling point. There's no question about it. So, yeah, get ready to hear James Franklin talk about it a lot over the next few weeks and months.
We've seen over the past few cycles that Blue White has had varying degrees of impact on the commit totals. And I feel like with all this stuff in mind, there could be higher percentages for commitments on Blue White Weekend than maybe in years past.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, I think that you usually would see a guy or two come in and they would commit based on the fact that most guys that committed didn't show up on a whim to commit. They knew they were going to come to commit. I think Pat Freiermuth did last year, if I'm not mistaken. But DeAndre Tompkins is the one that always comes to mind to me as well. I mean, these guys came to campus on Blue White Day to commit. Now you might get some guys who've never been to campus before. They kind of like what they see. And now they're the guys that surprise commit, if you will, before they leave campus. So it's going to be interesting. There's no doubt about it.
It will be interesting. Penn State, shifting gears of 2019, just real quick, is there a need area or two? If you're going to have, let's say, a dozen commits, 15 commits in this class, you'll probably see balance, I guess.
Yeah.
Safety strikes me still.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that, to me, safety and receiver, we heard James Franklin talk about it. That's probably what they're going to look at here after missing out in the last class.
We are not done talking recruiting, I'm sure. We'll see what kind of questions come in. Ask Greg your Penn State football questions. We're going to give those to our own Gregory Pickle. We'll have that segment coming up right after this.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA home insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG.